What's up, fools?
Hey, Megan, don't call them fools.
Why not?
Unless it's fools with a PH.
Yeah, man, I'm talking about some PH fools up in here.
Pretty hot outside or laterally.
That made no sense.
Fools. Of course it made sense because you're hot both outside your body and laterally, you know,
explain to me how you're laterally hot.
Well, you know, some people can be laterally hot and some people can be vertically hot.
Like, some people are laterally hot when they're like, that just means that they appeal to a wide variety of people. They're like across the board hot. Everyone agrees that they're hot.
It means that they're hot when they're up on a ladder.
Laterally hot?
Yes.
Oh my god.
You know,
pretty hot orchestra orphans. Lip syncing.
Okay. What's up, fools?
How you y'all doing? Pretty hot orchestra orphans lip syncing.
How y'all doing out there in Magic Land?
We hope that you're doing real well. We're pretty cool, you know. Maria and I, we're just
That's right.
We're chilling here. Who are Maria and I? Well, we're the hosts of this podcast.
Magic the Amateuring.
That's right.
Welcome.
It's a podcast. It's a podcast for people like you and people like us.
And everyone in between.
People in cars and people on the bus.
People on a sidewalk. People still inside their mom's stomachs.
People who swim. And people who do things on a whim.
I'm not rhyming mine.
People with eyes and people who wear ties. People who like art and people who like to fart. People who like stickers and people who are mysterious misters.
No, that is not a rhyme.
It's a slant rhyme.
Mysterious misters.
It rhymes with stickers in a slanty way.
Mysterious
misters.
Kanye
West
misters.
Can do it. I can do it.
That sounds like a category on Craigslist misconnections. Mysterious misters.
Oh, yes. Hey, you want to be my mysterious mister?
I don't know what that means.
I think it's just like a woman's version of a mistress, of having a mistress.
Mysterious
like a man mister? Has a mistress and a woman would have a mysterious mister.
Yeah, like what is the word for that?
I don't know.
Lover?
Yeah.
That's it.
But that's that has so, like, mistress is such a specific thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I feel like.
A mistress is often known.
Yeah, like a consort. That's more like a royalty thing.
You guys, tweet at us at MTAcast if you know the word for this.
If you know what the female equivalent of having a mistress is.
Welcome to Magic the Amateuring on today's show.
We're going to be talking about infidelity and how it affects your life.
Oh, God.
In magic, it's important to be...
What?
I can't think of the noun that means to have fidelity.
Faithful?
Yep.
Nailed it.
That's the one I was looking for. It's important to be faithful to the decks that are good to you.
That's very true.
If they treat you well, treat them well in return, friends.
We're going to talk about decks coming up, obviously, as foreshadowed by Megan. We're going to talk about forcing a strategy in draft.
Ooh. Some say you never should, but others say, if I could, I would.
Stop rhyming now. We're also going to talk about, other stuff. But I wanted to mention this to you up front, you guys. We have a Facebook page, BT Dubs. I don't know if you guys knew that. I mentioned it on Twitter, so if you're a Twitter follower, perhaps you did know. It's facebook.com/MTAcast. Come and like our page. If you're not a Twitter person, you should be, because that's the easiest way to interact with us. But, you know, occasionally we'll check the Facebook as well. So facebook.com/MTAcast. Hit us up with a like.
Yeah, man. If on Twitter you never take a look, then check us out on the Facebook.
Nope. For the noobs, force drafting.
Oh, man. So, back when we started, I remember...
2 years ago.
Jesus.
That's the back in time music.
And here we are back in time.
Yep.
Maria, you should never force draft. You should look for what colors are open and draft the colors that are open.
You mean read signals?
Yes, read signals.
Okay.
Don't force draft. Force drafting is always bad.
Megan, I want to tell you that I like those brand new kind of pants you're wearing. I think they're called skinny jeans.
Oh, man. Thank you. I'm a trendsetter. Maria.
Back in the future. I mean present.
Skinny jeans are totally hot. And two, force drafting isn't always wrong.
What?
I know. Can you get a hold of that?
I can get a hold of it. I have two hands with opposable thumbs.
Oh, shit.
And prehensile fingers.
And those are made for nothing if not for grabbing facts.
And magic cards.
Magic cards. And a mouse when you're playing Magic Online. So, I feel like this was so ingrained in us that even to this day, sometimes when it's the right thing to do, I still think it's so wrong. There's part of me that's like, no, we can't say that force drafting is sometimes okay. No, it's never okay. It's always wrong.
Well, think of it this way. So we were raised to be good Magic players, right? From the womb, we were raised
that way.
And what you're taught, if you're raised right, if your mama's raising you right, mm-hmm. our mama being probably Marshall Sutcliffe.
Weird.
You should...
Why aren't we taller?
Good point. That guy is a tall man.
I feel like we really got shorted on the tall jeans.
Did you just say shorted on the tall jeans?
I sure did.
Okay. Just checking. So what they teach you is read signals when you're drafting coming to you from your right. So you want to be in the color that is most open. You don't want to just always stick with the rare that you open. You don't want to be married to that. Read what's coming at you and you'll end up with a stronger deck. Like if a red is flowing, make sure you switch over to red, even if you opened up a sweet, awesome green white rare. Right? That's what we've been taught. And that is, 95% true.
Absolutely. And that just means, because if the person directly to your right or the person even two spots to your right is drafting, say, black, you're just not going to see a lot of black cards.
Right.
They're going to get first choice of all but two of the cards. And they're gonna be picking out the best stuff from there.
And you know how I sometimes evaluate how my draft went at the end of the day? If I'm drafting in real life, this is.
How?
So at my table, everybody turns up their deck and starts building after the draft. And I look to see who is in my same colors at the table.
Yeah.
And if it's the person directly across from me, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I probably did the right thing.
Do you know how I evaluate how I did in my draft?
You win.
I play people and I look at my record.
I mean, was I making the right choice?
I'm just being a jerk. I'll admit that freely here.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. So sometimes you can look at the table and you can be like, oh, and that's, if it's a casual environment.
Right.
If it's not a casual environment, don't be a jerk and look at other people's decks.
Eyes forward.
Exactly.
But Megan, so why are you telling me? How did we come to this point in our lives where we're like, hey, perhaps forcing a certain set of colors or a synergy in draft is not necessarily a bad thing?
One thing in very recent memory is you may remember drafting Fate Cons all that time ago.
I drafted it many times.
So there were some rares in Cons or in Fate that were so powerful that if you opened them, it was just in your best interest to be that color.
Correct.
Like Citadel Siege, for example. It's just like, it's an insane Magic card. And even if the person to your right, immediately to your right, is white, like you'll still get, pack two, because then you'll be passing to them and you'll still get enough scraps and you can supplement with whatever your second color is, or in the case of Fate Cons, whatever your second and third, maybe third colors were. But that rare was just so effing good.
Yeah.
It was just in your best interest to force white. Like, to make sure that white was amongst the colors that you were primarily drafting.
Yeah. I mean, when the South tried to separate from the North in the Civil War, they were trying to force white. And it didn't work out for them.
It really didn't.
At that point.
So don't be the South.
But that was different.
Exactly. No one likes the Confederate States.
No.
They don't.
You mentioned scraps, by the way.
Yeah.
And you put this idea into my brain of a restaurant that serves magic cards. Okay. So
you're really going to have to sell me on this.
You order off the menu.
Okay.
Like, you look at them and you're like, I'll have a Savage Ventmaw, or I'll have an Atarka Ifrit, please. And then they bring them to you for your deck. But the waiters at the end of the night have to make their decks based on the table scraps that were left and not put in anybody else's deck. So what I'm saying is, there's a draft. This is a metaphor. There's a draft, and one the ninth player makes their deck from everybody else's sideboard.
Okay, I like that idea.
What do you think that deck would be good? Idea.
Oh, yeah. That deck would be good. Yeah.
I mean, like, how many, you know.
Think of how many cards they have to choose from.
This is a really funny scenario.
They have a lot of cards to choose from. I don't know. I guess.
They're not going to have the best cards. I mean, maybe they'll have one or two.
It's not
going to
be terrible, but I also don't think that it's not going to be amazing, but I don't think it's going to be terrible.
Wow, this is a funny experiment.
Like, I think it has a fighting chance.
I think it does, too.
That's a sweet idea.
We need to run this experiment, just like at our next local draft. Be like, all right, stop everybody. Let me just see your sideboards.
Let me see your sideboards. I'm going to see what kind of deck I could build out of them. That'd be pretty awesome.
Okay, time in.
What were we talking
force
about?
Force drafting.
Oh, force drafting. So anyways, so that's one example. We say, you know, part of when we were saying, you know, read the signals and stay open is don't be married to your first pick. Because again, if the people immediately beside you are drafting your colors, you're not going to get as good of cards. But there are some sets where there is a rare or a couple of rares that are so insane, it really just is in your best interest to draft around that rare.
That's usually what people refer to as a prince set as opposed to a pauper set.
Oh.
A prince format. Pauper
because
format.
There's a whole bunch of princes who run around being dicks and managing everything?
No, it's because when you draft, you exclusively listen to the artist formerly known as Prince.
Oh, I haven't been doing that.
MN Pride. Yeah. Yeah, well, man.
All right, my bad. and so now we're going to talk about another time when you might be inclined to force draft.
Sure.
Which is if you feel like you are so much better at a color or a color pairing that it really puts you at an advantage if those colors are at all open.
Correct.
So it might not be, and I'm not saying this isn't something that you necessarily want to do if the color is completely closed.
No.
Right? If maybe the person immediately to your right or like two people who are passing to you are both in one of, or two of your colors, like that's probably not going to work out, even if you think that you're great at it. But maybe you're a really good blue-white drafter. And blue-white is medium open and red is really open.
Mm-hmm.
You might look at that situation and be like, do you know what?
I know how to do this deck.
Exactly. I'm really good at drafting and playing the blue-white deck. And I'm not very good at either drafting or playing the red deck. So it's in my best interest to play this blue-white deck.
I mean, skill and knowledge of the cards... you know, you can't discount that. You really can't.
No, you really, really can't.
So I had an experience with this in the recent Fate Cons set, drafting. It was red-blue, and I think it was something like 90% of my drafts, I drafted red-blue.
Yeah.
And it was maybe perhaps because I had a propensity to choose these cards because, A, I knew how to draft and play this deck, and I won with it, and two... like, I just overvalued them because of those factors.
Yeah.
So,
which is totally a thing to mention. I think that I definitely am guilty of getting a little bit colorblind.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Red-green colorblind. No, I get a little colorblind where it's like, I look at, you know, maybe there's, I'm trying to think of a couple of, like, similar quality cards. Or some similarly good cards.
Okay, so...
maybe there's, like... what would you say the best black common is?
I would say the Akud Cobra.
Okay, that's an uncommon.
No, it is not.
Yeah, it is.
What? Okay.
Okay, but let's say that's actually good enough.
Okay.
Let's say there's an Akud Cobra and and Airy Bowmasters in the same
Flatten,
pack.
Is Flatten the best black common?
Sure, there's a Flatten. We'll say there's a Flatten and there's an Airy Bowmasters.
Okay.
This is actually really tough because black is probably like, green black is my second strongest color pairing.
Okay.
So I would actually probably here take Flatten. But it's like maybe if you're really good at green white.
Yeah.
You look at that and you're a little bit colorblind. Like you think that Airy Bowmasters is a better card. Or you look at that pack and you say, oh, green is super open because the best card in here is Airy Bowmasters. And it's like, well, really, you could make an argument that the best card in here is Flatten.
Yeah.
Because it is also very, very good. But because you're so much more inclined to play green, you're more likely to look at this pack and say, oh,
Airy Bowmasters still in here.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, great. Green is so open because there's this Airy Bowmasters. But you could also look at it and be like, oh, black is so open because there's still this Flatten in here.
Right. And that's just like, you know, what are you most comfortable with? What have you come to be playing, have been playing recently that's influencing your decision?
Absolutely. So that's just like a pitfall to watch out, like a trap to look out for.
I have to constantly do that, by the way. Still check myself before I wreck myself. Wreck my draft, rather. Like, I'm seeing this, you know, X, like, I don't know what card that I would just be in love with. And, wait a second, Maria. Hold on a sec.
Yeah.
There's also a Vulture's Avon. Now, am I undervaluing that Vulture's Avon because I have not played a single draft with blue-black?
Yeah.
Because I think everybody else takes it, so I don't get any.
Yeah, that's true. I do feel like it's a little heavily drafted right now.
Yeah. So, like, I haven't had the chance to play with it a lot. I obviously know it is good, but maybe because it's a little bit of the unknown that I'm just like, I'm going to stick with more of what I know.
Yeah. And yeah. I've definitely noticed that there are cards that will put me into a color, like, if I get them third or fourth or fifth pick. It's like, Airy Bowmasters will do that and Ojitai Summons. Like, if I see those cards, even if there is, even if there's, like, a good red card that's in that same pack, I will just be like, I'm taking this Airy Bowmasters.
What about Elmer, Stampeding Elmers?
Stampeding Elkard will also do it.
Yep.
Heck yes. I will always,
that if card, I see man,
it, I'm just like, yes.
You know, it's good if it passes the test, right? If somebody plays it against you and you're just like,
you're like,
those freaking elks.
It's not even like, ugh. Sometimes it's just like, shit.
Yeah, that's
shit.
True. That's true. They're coming. Well, think about those things coming at you in real life.
Terrifying.
I would probably poo my little trows.
That was the worst sentence you've ever said. I just want to put that idea out there.
Megan, that can't possibly be true. We've done 118 episodes.
Oh, it's up there. It's up there.
What did I say? I'm going to poo-poo my little trout.
Yeah, I think it was the inclusion of the word little, which made it just, like, particularly horrifying.
I'm wearing really little trousers
today. I don't want to know.
My pants are so small.
I don't want to know.
My pants are so small, I can only put in one leg. That's it.
Did you know that in the UK, pants means underwear?
Yes, I did.
It's one of my favorite.
I think that's the greatest
thing.
That's got to be the biggest difference. Two exact same word. No, I take that back.
What? What's the biggest difference?
So pants, big difference between the exact two same words.
Yeah.
Fanny in the U.S. versus Australia.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one.
Everybody,
pretty good one.
Don't talk just about Google your fanny just pack in Australia. That's all
it's
I have to say.
It's real weird. It's gonna get real weird.
NSFW, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
FYI. I just used two acronyms in one sentence.
Yep.
Yes.
So, sometimes, so for instance, I feel super comfortable drafting green-white in the current format. Just like heads and tails above all of my other color combinations. I also feel really comfortable in like green-black and green-blue. But I haven't had like the I feel like those colors don't come to me as often.
Sure.
Or the cards that I would see that would put me into those colors, I don't see. Like, again, like an Ojitai Summons or a Flatten. If I get past those, then I will probably take them.
But today, you mentioned you tried to do other colors.
Oh, man, I totally did. I did three drafts. The first one was a regular draft, and the next one was a rage draft, and the third one was, like, a motherfucking rage draft. I won the third one.
MFRD.
Motherfucking rage draft. Third one was totally an MFRD. I was tilting so hard, which usually is such a bad idea, so but it was a Sunday.
It was a bad Sunday idea. And I was like, Don't draft angry.
I was like, I need to do this. And I did. I did green, red, and then I did blue, white. And my blue, white deck was like really good. And I think my green, red deck was like fine also.
Probably was.
I just was like not any good at it.
Just not your soulmate right now. That's all.
No, it's not my soulmate. Green white is totes my soulmate. I think I've drafted it. Of the, let's see, 1, 2, 3. Of the five times, of the five times I've drafted it in recent memory, I think I've won 11 games and lost like two or something like that. Like, my record is really absurd with that color combination right now.
Do you want to know my best color combination in this format?
What is it?
So typical, Megan.
Does it involve red?
Yes.
Does it involve black?
Yes.
Is it red black?
Yes. And you know what the weirdest part is? What? Is I'm just like, I want to play blue black. I want to try and build a control deck, but I can't. I ever win with this red black.
I think, to be fair, it is overdrafted right now.
I think it is, too.
Which is an interesting phenomenon to note when we're talking about force drafting. It is also good to know, like, what color combinations people, like, in general are being favored at the moment that people think are really strong. Because it can help you lead you in a different direction. Like, I feel like kind of part of the reason why I'm doing well with green white right now is because it's kind of flying under the radar at the moment.
People aren't talking about it.
Yeah, in fact, a lot of people keep dissing green dissing green white, and it's like I've had absurd results with that deck. And it's like light walkers. I get light walkers on the wheel, and in a deck with any counters in it, it's that card is very good.
If you get Sandcrafter Mage with light walker, boom boom,
it's just like sick. It's really quite good.
Kermit said it ain't easy being green, Megan, but you're finding that opposite is true.
I'm finding that right now it is quite
Kermit
easy.
Kermit is a fucking liar.
Kermit is a goddamn liar. And like the, you know what? I was just playing this draft where I won with green white, and the other deck I met in the finals was also green white.
Weird.
So it's just, you know, it's like, dudes, it's a good thing to note or to be aware of in the format.
Speaking of Kermit the Frog.
Yeah, man.
Did I ever tell you this story, Megan?
Probably not.
All right. It was a dark night and I put my hand up something and it turned out to be a frog's butt. Just kidding. That's not the story. The story is...
Okay.
I'm saying Kermit always has somebody up his arm up his butt. Anyway.
Yeah, no, that's true.
I lived in a town with a radio station that changed formats. So it used to be like 80s, 90s, and today. Yeah. And then Clear Channel or some shit bought it.
Yeah.
And 3 days later, it was a different kind of channel. Well, guess what they put on the air? They didn't take it off the air, but they played something on the air for 3 days straight. Nary a commercial, nary a break was to be found.
What was it?
And guess what? It was not annoying. And I didn't change the radio for 3 days.
What was it?
Rainbow Connection by Kermit T. Frog.
Are you serious?
100% serious.
Is the T for the?
Yes.
I was confused.
That
for a
was
second.
Also a question I got in Knowledge Bowl in high school. What is the T stand for? T Frog. And I was like,
wait, the. Oh, it's the. Okay.
Yeah, so.
That's the worst Quiz Bowl question ever.
They throw in bizarre ones like that every once in a while.
Whoever was writing the Quiz Bowl for that year was just like, was just drunk all the time.
Let's put this one in there.
Fuck it. I'm over Quiz Bowl. I just
Kermit
said
T Frog.
Stay on another year because I need the money. I'm addicted to writing questions.
Like, seriously, if you ever want to listen to one song nonstop, I did not get sick of it. Every time it ended and started again, I was like, yeah, I can feel this.
That's the weirdest that they did that. That's super bizarre.
I know. Anyway, story time.
Maria, another time when you might force draft.
Sure.
Is when a particular color in a set is so strong.
That's very
that
true.
It just needs to be done. In fact, you noted this about M15. Notorious terrible format. NTF.
Yeah.
Notorious Terrible Format M15, just the fucking worst.
I mean, people initially liked it, and then as soon as everybody figured out that white was so much stronger on account of triplicate spirits, everybody just lost it, and white was all you should have been drafting. Yeah. I mean, even if you drafted a wonderful deck in other colors, you were just going to get beat by triplicate spirits.
It's just so true. I mean, had that's this happen multiple times. And so, you know, for the longest time, again, keeping aware of, like, oh, everyone, like, too many people are going to be in white in a draft was, like, a thing that you could be aware of.
Yeah.
But in the case of M15, it was just like, no, it doesn't matter. You should force draft white.
And I would often say, like, I would just pick white cards in my draft and wait for me to see at least one triplicate spirits, because usually you might see one on account of you opened it or you got it past like second pick or something.
Exactly. You'd the usually idiot next to you did not realize that they were supposed to be force drafting white.
So I was like, I basically just sit here and wait for the triplicate spirit.
Yeah. And then like draft a bunch of other white cards around it.
This was also true in M14 with blue.
Oh, that's true.
Everybody at the table basically should have been blue. This was not.
And in that case, that was an interesting phenomenon of blue was also a deep enough color that it could support like four drafters at a table being blue.
And what was the star of this color?
Opportunity.
Opportunity.
Oh, draw four cards.
That's great.
How many cards? Four cards. How many fucking cards? Four.
And what did it cost?
Six.
Worth it.
Six mana, draw four cards.
You know what's interesting is I don't believe there's one color that is superior in this format, so that's good to note in this current format. Like we mentioned earlier, a lot of people are hating on green because the reason is there's, you know, fine green cards in Dragons of Tarkir, but they don't believe there's any good green commons in Fate Reforged.
Man, that's what your support color is for.
You know, I agree. I think that if you watched the footage of the Pro Tour this past weekend, Shahar Shenhar had a draft where he totally ignored the green signals coming to him, and his deck was subpar compared to what it could have been if he had acknowledged those green signals and just moved in. But he had a bias, I think a little too strong of a bias against it.
Yeah.
So, you know, what are you going to do? But yeah, I don't think we have to worry right now, currently, about one color taking over. But maybe we should keep our eye open for Magic Origins. Because what we've just said was the record core sets. Is
that the core sets have been just like, just the last 2 years at least, have been pretty heavily favoring one color or another.
You know what I hope for this upcoming core set, Megan?
What?
That it's tight. Get it?
Yeah, I get it. God damn it. Do you know what I hope for this upcoming core set?
What, Megan?
That my expectations are met.
Stop rhyming. Stop it.
I hope that the cards, they took a lot of time to vet. And that this is going to be a great core set.
I'm going to hit you upside the head.
H-E-T hat?
Yeah.
I'm going to hit you upside the head. So yeah, just... those are some things to keep in mind while you are drafting. Yes, it is always a good idea to be aware of what colors are open.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes if a color is just so absurdly open, it's just correct to be in it. But there are like some of the scenarios that we just mentioned. There are times when it's correct to force draft a little bit. People have won things force drafting.
That's true.
So the rumor is that when Brandon Nelson won whatever GP was, there was a GP that was M15, and he just force drafted white in all of his drafts on day two. And then he won.
And then he won.
And then he won that GP.
Yep.
So as you do. You go.
I heard that one of our presidents, the first H.W. Bush, force drafted presidency, and he won.
Oh, that's true, but only once.
Yeah.
He didn't win all of day two.
No, he stayed open on day two, and look what happened.
Oh, look what happened. He really lost it. He really lost it there.
Magic the Amateuring History Lesson. Hey, everybody. We've been here putting knowledge up your nose holes for like about more than 2 years now. And thank you for coming along on the ride. I know some people have been here for the entire time. Some people have hopped on the bus in the middle and gone back in time and listened to old episodes. But in case you haven't...
hold on, just by the way, as a frequent bus rider, I don't usually recommend getting on a bus in the middle. Like, there's not a door in the middle of the bus.
Oh, I thought you meant like while it was driving, you hooked onto it with like a...
Either one of those. Carabiner. Don't try and enter in the middle of the bus.
Okay.
There's not a door
I'm
there.
I'm going to do it, so
I guess there's a door towards the back, but you're going to get in trouble because you're supposed to pay your fare up front. Two, while it's driving down the street. Don't try and enter a bus while it's driving down the street.
I feel like I'm going to rebel and do that.
Maria, I'm going to really miss you on the show.
And somebody wrote to us, had a very nice Twitter tweet at us for a blog post they wrote, thanking us for doing the show along with several other great podcasts. And one thing they mentioned is that they mentioned our show's motto, which is, on the count of three, Megan, 1, 2, 3,
good luck, high five.
And they were wondering why we say that. Well, you could go back in time and find out and be hilariously entertained when it happens, because I think it comes about naturally, because... I think I just say, okay, the reason is, I thought that's what it meant on Magic Online. I thought that's what GLHF meant the first time I played.
Yeah.
I had no idea. And if you can go back and find that episode, I'm not sure what it is, but I'm talking about it and I'm like really just completely naive. And I think that, and I think that's what it stands for. Incorrect. It stands for good luck, have fun. And Megan and I on, you know, past episodes after that have railed against that. Like, what do you mean? What are you telling me to have fun? I'm already having fun. I'm playing Magic Online. Like, I'm going to play this game and just be like angry, angry, angry the whole time.
Well, I did just mention rage trapping. Well,
that's true.
And then motherfucking rage trapping. So sometimes you are. Sometimes you're just mad.
But I just thought it would be so much better to say good luck, high five. I mean, so much better than have fun. Like, why are you telling me to have fun? Don't tell me what to do. Tell me to have a high five and I think it'll be a great time. If you give me a high five, we're already having fun. Problem solved.
Yeah, man.
So good luck, high five to you guys out there. That's been your brief Magic the Amateuring history moment.
History moment.
If you have any other questions about strange things we do on this show, tweet at us at MTAcast, and perhaps we will answer your history moment question as well.
So now we're gonna do a little mailbag.
Ooh, mailbag. Is that like a bag where you put men inside it?
Yep. It's where you put your mysterious misters.
In a mailbag. Got
it. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's what it's called when a woman has the woman equivalent of a mistress.
It's my mailbag.
This is my mailbag.
It's so good.
This was back in March. A lovely listener wrote to us and asked, "Hi, Megan and Maria. Lately, my partner and I have been reading up on different modern decks and have been blown out of the water by both the price and popularity of Tarmogoyf.
Modern!
Apart from being hideously ugly, which Tarmogoyf is,
yep, mm-hmm.
It's like a
confirmed.
It's like a. It's just like a. It looks like one of those like spiky drills that's been turned inside out, and that's the inside of its mouth.
It looks like what I throw up after I've eaten a cactus.
Why did you eat a cactus,
Megan? I was thirsty and I was in the desert.
Oh, I just feel like you could have gone about it better.
What? I'm not... Oh, I don't have any water. I'm in the middle of the desert. What am I going to do?
Okay, so what you do is you break off, like, one of the pieces. You get a rock, and you use it to break off one of the little flippers. Shut up. It looks like a fucking cactus flipper, okay?
In Megan's world, all cactuses are dolphin-shaped.
Okay, so you break off one of those things.
Yeah.
I should know, because I am from Texas, but...
Leaf?
Anyways, no, I, anyways, so right, right, okay, so there's like, you broke up your cactus slipper with a rock, and then you get a sharp, flat rock, and you scrape it. You scrape all the spines off.
Okay. Are you, like, legitimately telling me how to drink from a cactus right now?
Well, then you would eat it, and that's called nopalitos.
Don't even tell me that that's a real thing.
What? You can eat cactus. There's totally dishes with cactus in them.
But I feel like you've got to do something else. You got to, like, I mean, fry that thing.
You have to cook it.
Right? Okay. Yeah.
When I was growing up, I had a postcard that my grandma sent me from the Grand Canyon that had a fried rattlesnake recipe on it.
Sick.
Yeah, man.
Living dangerously.
Anyways, apart from being hideously ugly and pretty cheap to cast, I can't understand why it's so darn popular. Why do people love Tarmogoyf so much? So, and then she asked, in other words, if I open one in Modern Masters 2, should I keep it or sell it? Which is also an excellent question.
Great question.
So thank you so much for that excellent question, first of all.
I'm dying. Okay.
And I know that we wrote back at the time. Yep. But we thought with Modern Masters 2 coming up.
Announce it on the air. Yes, spoilers, scheduled to start very soon.
Aw, snap.
I'm so excited.
Tarmogoyf's going to be in that sucker.
Yes, he is.
It's going to be so in that sucker.
Yeah.
And then you're going to open it like a motherfucker.
And you're going to be like, Goyf alert. Woo, 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 woo. Goyf alert. Goyf alert. Goyf alert.
Should you keep it or should you flirt with the idea of selling it?
Yeah, Tarmogoyf. What is the heck does Tarmogoyf even say?
So,
for people who aren't familiar with Tarmogoyf, it's played, by the way, in a lot of modern decks.
Quite a few. I would say that generally, if you're playing green, you're playing Tarmogoyf. With the exception of there are some Scapeshift decks that do not, and some that do. Tarmogoyf, originally seen in, I believe, one of the Time Spirals. Future Sight. Yeah. Creature Lurgoyf.
What?
Who even knows? One in a green. Tarmogoyf's power is equal to the number of card types among cards in all graveyards, and its toughness is equal to that number plus one.
Yeah, that's confusing.
The card types are artifact, creature, enchantment, instant, land, planeswalker, sorcery, and tribal.
Oh yeah, tribal.
So there you go. That's something that we see a ton of, but that happens every once in a while.
Yeah.
So this
thing comes out as a 0/1 potentially if there's nothing in your graveyard.
But Maria, we're playing modern. How often does that happen?
Never.
Do you know what? A lot of times, Tarmogoyf is in a green-black deck. In which case, on turn one, I went play a fetch land, crack it, put a land into play. Thought sees you. So right now, I have a land and a sorcery in my graveyard. So then that Tarmogoyf comes out on turn two.
2/3.
It's a 2/3. And do you know what?
Hmm.
This is even better. What? If they try and lightning bolt that sucker for 3 damage.
Yeah.
So they lightning bolt it.
Yep.
3 damage. And you think that Tarmogoyf's a 2/3. But no.
No. It is not.
That instant goes to the graveyard, making your Tarmogoyf a 3/4.
Oh, God, it's a 3/4.
It's a 3/4 with 3 damage on it.
It's all graveyards. Yeah, that's interesting, actually, that the fact that the damage, like, as the card is resolving, it's going into the graveyard and triggering Tarmogoyf's ability.
We should have Judge Rob on sometime to talk exactly about how cards going to the graveyard and their resolution works specifically.
Yeah.
But what you need to know for the time being is that if your Tarmogoyf is a 2/3 and there are no instants in the graveyard and they bolt your Goyf, well,
yeah,
bad luck them.
Yeah.
bad luck though.
And this sucker only costs 2 mana, 1 in a green. That's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, man. 1 in a green.
So starters, good deal.
Good deal.
Second point, it's played in a lot of decks. Third point, it's easy to turn on.
Yeah. And by turn on, we mean make it a relevant creature.
And by turn on, I mean make it really horny.
It is already really horny. It's got all those spikes on it. Oh, shit. Anyways, so yeah, basically, it just has really great stats for being so cheap. It's often a 4/5.
Yeah, for 2.
Which is insane. And late in a game, it's like a 5/6.
Yeah.
It can get a relevant absurdly threat. Big.
Especially paired with black, which likes to mess around in the graveyard.
Yeah. And so to answer the question of whether you should keep or sell something.
Magic Finance.
Like a Tarmogoyf. If you plan on playing modern at any point in the future, my recommendation is to hold on to it. Because the price will usually, like, it's always cheaper to open something than to buy it.
Sure. Right?
So if you plan on playing modern and you have even the slightest inkling that you might end up playing some sort of base green deck, again, almost every base green deck plays this card. So yes, have it.
You could also trade it for something relevant if you didn't want to play that kind of deck.
Yeah, absolutely.
A Goyf, very tradable.
But if you're going to sell, and even if you're going to trade, I recommend holding on to it for about a year. Because the price will go up.
Yes. What I think it'll happen is Modern Masters 2 comes out, the Goyf is fairly valuable, then it dips for a while. It dips
a little bit. Like, not a lot. It's still going to be, it's still a very, very pricey card.
Sure.
But it will rise in about a year. Inevitably
go back up. I agree with that.
Exactly.
So I plan to get past 3 Tarmogoyfs in Vegas.
Someone's gonna walk away with that pool. Ugh. It's gonna be one of those stupid.
I know it.
It's gonna be one of those people that's there to just be like, just there to open cards. They're gonna open an insane pool and they're gonna be like, oh, I'm just gonna take the money later. And leave. And we've always been advocates of
don't keep it. Be that guy.
Just keep it together and then you're there to play. We're there.
You
to
are
play.
There to play.
We're there to play. That being said, 3 Tarmogoyfs is like $500. So
okay, I mean, that's true.
Maria, what's the dollar value of a pool
that I need to have to walk away?
That you would need to have to walk away from the event.
Oh my god. Man, I don't know. If I legitimately opened 3 Goyfs, that's really tempting. I mean, that's, you know, EV, I'm going to be up.
I'm not even asking about the cards. I'm asking about, like, just any combination of cards that have a dollar value equal to X.
Well, I'm wondering what's going to be more valuable than Goyf. That was the most valuable card in the previous Modern Masters.
Yeah. I don't know that it ever...
Will anything...
I mean, because they're not printing any of, like... They're not printing power.
Yeah. Man.
I think I read
a story about somebody who opened 2 last year, and they dropped. They also had one other thing that was good, but they took the money and run.
Oh, snap.
Yeah.
Dollar amount, Maria, what is it? I'm looking for, like, a hard number here.
You know, I freaking flew to Vegas. You know what I mean? I'm signing up for this thing. I think it would have to be, like, a grand. I mean...
A grand?
What? I don't know how I'm opening a grand, by the way. I don't know if that's possible.
You opened 6 foil coins.
I mean, like... I want to play.
6 foil goyfs.
But then again, there's side events. I don't know. I can't answer this.
Yeah.
I just don't know until I'm in the moment. I really want to play in the main event, you know?
Yeah. To give you an idea, the current median price on a Modern Masters 1 Tarmogoyf is $190.
Oh my god.
That's the median.
Well, if you're going to sell it, you're only going to get half that or whatever.
$190.
Yikes.
It's a lot of money. And yeah. I think at the time it was, I think during Modern Masters it was going for right around 120.
Oh, it was less, you think?
Yeah, it's gone up since then.
Okay. Huh.
So, maybe not that big of a difference, but there you have it.
There you have it. Tarmogoyf, good card. You heard it here first.
And basically, again, it's just because it is... especially in Modern, where the graveyard can fill up so quickly. And a lot of the removal is very cheap. Like, Path to Exile, right? Goyf does die to that. But there's so many decks that have red as their removal. And, like, it sometimes completely blanks that removal.
Yeah.
It is difficult to kill. It delivers a beating. There you have it.
One green deck you won't find it in. Boggles.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Good old Boggles.
Boggles isn't a green deck. It's a Boggles deck.
Yeah, true.
It doesn't identify with colors. It identifies with being annoying.
Do you know what? I think about that Boggles deck all the time.
Really?
Yes.
That's hilarious. Why?
Because I miss it. I miss it.
Aww.
I liked it so much.
That's adorable. It was so cute.
It was so fun and stupid.
You're in love.
Just like putting stuff on my little bog box.
Oh.
Anyway, yeah, I played it at Omaha, which turned out to like actually be a good meta decision at the time.
That's hilarious.
Fun memories.
And amazing. So actually, kind of funny story, talking again about Modern Masters and the recent Modern meta changing. Dark Confidant, again, is another card that is very popular in Modern, because it's such a great source of card advantage. But what's really interesting is that Dark Confidant actually disappeared for, not completely, but like disappeared for a while because people were playing so many Treasure Cruises before it got banned. Like, you can't play Dark Confidant on Treasure Cruise because you flip over Treasure Cruise with your Dark Confidant. You lose, like, 8 life. And Treasure Cruise was just, like, a better source of card advantage. That's funny.
I didn't know that.
It's just a better source of card advantage. Like, I just want to draw 3. Fucking give me a Treasure
Cruise. Get out of here, Bob.
Anyway, so Bob, for a little while, you know, he never falls completely out of favor, but he did, he saw a little bit of a disappearance and then a recent reappearance.
Well, stay tuned for some Modern Masters 2 spoiler updates. Come and tune in to Magic the Amateuring as they are revealed in the very near future. We'll be getting you the jam low on that.
The jam low?
Yep.
Yeah, and if you have any other questions about a card that you're like, what? How is that card so popular? Or how is that card worth so much money? Send us your question because we would be interested in taking a look.
You can email us at magicktheamateuring@gmail.com
or
send
us.
Oh yeah, tweet at us.
@MTAcast.
You can do it in 170 characters.
That's right.
Is that how many Twitter has?
You would just write the name of the card and then question mark, question mark, question mark. Spelled out.
Okay. I was going to say, you can go to magicktheamateuring.com and fill out our contact form and send us an email that way.
Oh, you can also do that.
There's 3 different ways for you. Carrier pigeon, 4 ways. Message in a bottle, 5 ways.
Wait, do you live near a good water source?
Yeah, my kitchen sink.
You guys, we're bringing back a game that we haven't done in a while.
Flavor Text Theater presents Movie Pitches.
Aw, snap. We're sitting here with a fresh pack of Dragons of Tarkir. We're going to open the sucker up. And we're going to take a look at some of the cards and pitch you some movies based on it.
Movies or TV shows based on the card titles.
Aw, snap.
This is my favorite game we play on the show.
All right, here we go.
Crack it.
Aw, so good. Such a good sound.
Open a sick rare.
Well, we're just going to put all these face down. Okay. Maybe we'll draw it at some point.
I'm just going to pick one up face down. Not looking at it.
Okay.
Ooh.
Uh-huh.
This is a movie about a crazy guy. Mm-hmm. It's like he's in prison.
Okay.
But he's really fat.
Okay.
He's fat and crazy.
Okay.
And he's fat and crazy, and he's kind of just like a lump who's in prison. Mm-hmm. And all the other people in prison are preying on him because he's fat, lazy.
Oh.
Like, he's like a marshmallow, if a human marshmallow.
Oh.
And everyone's like, oh, this guy sucks so much. And one day, he breaks. He can't take it anymore.
Yeah.
So, he decides to break out of prison and, like, show all these guys what's what. Yeah. And he goes to the prison gym, and he goes crazy and nuts on the elliptical, slash the weights. He does everything to get pumped up. And then he comes back, and he blows up the prison with 7 bazooka guns.
Wait. Let me get the sequencing correct here.
Yeah.
He's in prison and gets picked on.
Yeah.
He breaks out of prison.
Yeah.
He goes to the gym and gets ripped.
No, no. He's getting ripped in the prison gym.
He gets ripped in the prison gym and then he breaks out of prison.
Comes back.
Okay.
Blows it up.
Okay.
And it's an amazing story of, like, you know, we're rooting for the little guy.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Captain America, except an anti-Captain America.
Yeah, I dig it.
The movie's called Hardened Berserker.
Okay. I have a movie for you here.
Okay, let's hear it.
It's about a couple of brothers.
Sure.
Their names are Jack and Derek Wilde.
Oh, okay. Specific.
And they start out as like they're hardcore like badass greasers, kind of like a la The Outsiders.
Is this set in the 50s?
Yeah.
Okay.
But like right, Outsiders, not like Happy Days greasers, not like greasers, like the gritty, dirty murder, death, getting in fights all the time.
Like kind. It, I'm on board.
Exactly. But it's about how through the power of like a really great teacher at school.
Are we just watching whatever that movie is with what's his name?
I don't know what you're
Dangerous
talking about.
Dangerous Minds. That's what another one.
Dangerous Minds. Are you talking about?
No, is that the one I'm talking?
No, you're thinking of Robin Williams and Matt Damon, which I also can't think of right now.
Good Will Hunting. No, I'm thinking of the kids, and they have to take the test, and then he whips them into shape.
Oh, the one with Edward James Olmos.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, what is that one called?
I don't know.
I don't remember. No, it's not.
Okay.
And how they just sort of, they work at becoming better people. One of them because they have a teacher at school who really cares about him, and one of them because he meets like a great girl who's really book smart and shows him the power of being kind, and how they, you know, they slowly work at becoming like better, more caring and kind people who allow themselves to be impacted by the people and the world around them.
That sounds really nice.
It's called Evolving Wilds.
You know what? Evolving Wilds, like, I can see that being that's the like name a of
thing.
A movie.
That's like a thing. Yeah. It is like a Good Will Hunting or a whatever that Edward James Olmos.
You look it up. I need to know.
I totally am.
So my movie is a horror movie.
Ooh, tell me more.
Yeah, so I recently have gotten, I've always loved horror movies. Watch everybody out there recommending It Follows, by the way. Great movie.
Ooh.
I'm
not going to watch it, but... going.
Sure. So this is a horror movie, and there's a girl. She's a high school teenage girl, and she's, you know, a goth kid, constantly getting picked on by the other people in the school. All the, you know, bitches and jocks pick on her. They pull the most horrible, mean pranks on her, and it kind of like really enters her system how much all of this bullying is like eating her away. She's taking it on somehow. Physically manifesting it. So at night what she does is she goes to the graveyard because that's the only place where she feels like accepted because there's nobody there to make fun of her because they're all dead. She goes to the places where they've dug several empty graves. She barfs into the grave holes.
She barfs into them.
Yeah, she barfs into the open grave holes that they've dug that day. And out of that, her vomit come monsters, spirits that go and attack the people who bullied her in school.
What?
I know. It's pretty sick.
This sounds pretty bizarre and kind of terrifying.
It's called Grave Purge.
Oh, my God. Yeah, sure.
Have you found this movie yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
He was in Selena, though. Have you ever watched that movie? It's a really good movie.
I think I've seen it on TV like 100 times.
J-Lo's in it and she's like really young and she has a great singing voice and like wears spandex pants just 100% of the time.
I mean, as
you
do.
And they basically wear sequin bras for the dance numbers. Like, that's pretty much it. So this is a standard sci-fi flick.
Okay.
A la Sunshine. Fucking hate that movie.
And I haven't seen it.
I know it's real dividing. It's real dividing for people. Some people love it. I once dated someone who it was their favorite film, and then I watched it and was like, "Wait,
I'm sorry, we need to break up."
No. Anyways, so right, it's about a like a station that's orbiting a planet.
Sure.
But the people on the planet were wiped out by a plague, and this was like a colony planet, right? So it's just the people left orbiting on the space station.
Ooh,
and
I like this idea.
They're running out of supplies, and so they've contacted, you know, Earth, which is, you know, lots of light years away because this is the future, and a ship from Earth is racing to go and save them, and to bring them the things that they need to continue surviving. And it's like it's a race against time, right? Because we see them. They're like slowly starving. They're starting to go a little space crazy.
Yeah.
It's called Resupply.
Oh, my movie is one of those comedies. Those comedies where you get like a big, you know, a big lady who's sassy in the lead role.
Yeah,
who's kind of like an older actress back to be all sassy. And in this movie, she's just crazy, and it follows her crazy trials and tribulations as she moves in with her son and his new wife and their two kids, and like makes crazy. But the best part is she's a French cook. She's a French chef as well, and makes great French dishes. And at the end, that's what brings everyone together after all the chaos. Like, she's ruining our life. She throws a great French party, and everybody, he gets the promotion. You know what it is.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Real feel good.
It's real feel good. I shouldn't have said it was her son she was living with. I should have said it was her sister's son. So she never had any kids. It's like her sister's son's kids, because the movie is called Aunt Tissy. Her name's Tissy. Aunt Tissy Pate. Aunt Tissy's anticipate.
Why? Why? It was called Stand and Deliver.
Ah, that's what
Stand
it was.
Stand and Deliver.
Oh, it was so good.
We got it. Okay, so this is about, this is like an intense action film, but one of those films where you're like, why the fuck is this a thing? And it's about a guy who used to be a long distance truck driver.
Ooh,
and
nice.
And then he dies in an accident. And he comes back as a ghost truck driver.
And, horrible. I'm not greenlighting this.
And it's so it's and now it's also the end of the world. It's the apocalypse.
Okay.
Kind of like the one that John Cusack was in recently. That was really terrible. That was about the Mayan calendar one, right?
Yes.
Storms are or like the day after tomorrow. Storms are tearing the world apart.
And this trucker is
back. And this trucker is back, and he's trucking through it, and he's driving to save his wife and kids, his widow and kids, and the town that they all live in. And he's driving through this town and his giant truck. It's called Storm Rider Rig.
You know what the best part of this game is?
What?
Every single one of these movies could be made, and I'd be
we
like,
totally.
Yeah.
We totally could make. They wouldn't be good. They
no,
wouldn't necessarily.
Some would be better than others, but I'm just saying that they could get made, and I wouldn't be like, no way.
Yeah.
I'd be like, I can see that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so this is one of those, like, uplifting dance films, kind of like Save the Last Dance.
Okay.
Where it's like a real, you know, it's a real down and out inner city school.
Mm-hmm.
It's like one of those acronym programs. So their acronym spells out WISE, because they're like tough inner city kids who are a la Stand and Deliver, trying to beat the system.
Okay.
And prove everybody wrong and be super smart anyways. And they also have a dance team that gets made horrible fun of, because originally they're not any good.
Do they go throw up into graves?
Yeah, they're so bad they throw up into graves. So this team of dancers is really terrible, and they have someone who comes in and says, do you know what? It's not just about being smart to beat the system. Sometimes you have to follow your passions to beat the system.
Oh God, I feel like I know what this is.
And specifically, there's this girl named Sky, and she has the potential to be a really amazing dancer. And so this teacher comes in and says, do you know what? You can dance great. And they go to a dance competition, and they win. It's called Dance of the Skywise.
Brilliant.
Call us. I should have made her last name Wise.
Call us, TLC.
We've got it for you.
We're always here. Hey everybody, that's our show for this week. Thanks for coming on this journey with us, on this magic train, on this crazy train, on this love train. There's two song titles in what I just said.
Oh, was it Crazy Train?
Yep.
And coming on.
No! No, Megan!
The famous song. I guess you said coming with us.
Love train, you idiot!
Coming with us.
Oh God!
I'm just asking.
Anyway, if you guys want to check us out, be sure to hit us up on Twitter at MTAcast, on Facebook now, everybody, facebook.com/MTAcast. Somebody just shared a deck list with us on there. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. That was awesome. You can shoot us an email, as previously mentioned, magicthe@amateuring.com. Fill out the contact form, or just send it to us at gmail.com. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher or MTGcast for that flippin' matter, or perhaps check us on themeatery.org.
Absolutely. These are all places you can find us.
We're also on patreon.com/MTAcast. Become a patron if you enjoy the show. If it gives you any sort of information, laughs, gratitude, hug, warm feeling, or boners, pledge to us.
Not if it gives you a boner.
Okay. $1 an episode will give you a sweet Magic the Amateuring sticker. And by the way, if you're making plans to be in Vegas, Megan and I are going to be there. So, you know, keep your eyes peeled.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not for another month, but I'm excited.
I'm really excited.
Me three.
I think about Vegas like every day.
I know.
It's going to be so great.
It's going to be the best of my life. Megan's going to take us out with her new favorite song.
This really is my new favorite song.
There is absolutely no reason other than the fact that you love this song that you're playing it right now, right?
Yeah.
All right.